Hi, I'm former Seattle Seahawk quarterback Rick Meyer, and when I'm in the mood for some good pasta and some good old-fashioned jack-off session, I head to Rain City Jacks, Italy.
I'm not really into any kind of feces-related imagery whatsoever.
One of these guys has a massive dick.
Is that Jeff Fahey? Hello and welcome. We're back. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. I'm Brian Beckner. I host the thing. Thank you very much for joining us for episode 135 of the program. As always, I let you know how to reach out. We got some good correspondence to get to this week, and I like it when you guys come back to us with your feedback on the show, with your ideas, most of them bad. It's okay, though. I like to hear from you. Best way is via email, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. You can also send us a voicemail. 949-464-TBLS is the voicemail number. We've got some new blood on the voicemail today, which is exciting. As always, I tell you, go to Facebook and like our page on Facebook, The Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Facebook. That way you can have conversations there that you don't necessarily have here. A lot of Harambe love going on our Facebook page right now. We've got the guy that ran on the field at the Monday Night Football game. He's there. So stuff like that that we see, we post there so we can have conversations there on Facebook, The Baller Lifestyle Podcast. I went to our iTunes the other day, and I noticed we have like 60 iTunes reviews, which is okay. It's decent. But we have many, 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 many more than 60 listeners. Many more. Hundreds more. Thousands more. It would be nice to have at least 100 reviews on iTunes. So just go to iTunes right now as you're listening to this. You're not doing anything. You're not mowing the lawn. I mean, you might be mowing the lawn. When you're done mowing the lawn, don't injure yourself with the mower, but go inside, get on your computer, your phone, go to iTunes, find the Baller Lifestyle Podcast, subscribe to the show, rate the show, 5-star rating, and then leave a review. Hey, really love that Ed Daly guy. Hey, Brian Beckner, don't talk so much. Stuff like that. Fancy sauce. All the usuals. Jason Stewart comes on. You could talk about him. Point is, leave a review. That helps us get even more popular. Along those lines, another way you could help us get even more popular is by going to patreon.com/theballerlifestyle and making a financial contribution to the show. A contribution of your choosing. You cannot possibly give too little, and you certainly could not possibly, under any circumstance, give too much. Patreon.com/theballerlifestyle. Joining me now, everyone loves him. He's in Hoboken. It's getting to be fall, so he's probably really excited. There's a little chill in the air. He's probably got a sweatshirt on. He's wearing his jeans. He's really excited about it, I'm sure. Of course, I'm talking about Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
It's still in the 70s, and you know, I think it even reached like 90 last week. I do love the fall, but I love like mid to late fall. Not early fall is fucking summer.
Well, usually you're right, except for here on the West Coast, we had an extremely mild summer, Ed. It barely ever cracked 90 degrees. And usually right now, September is usually the hottest month of the year here in Southern California.
Not the case.
It rained today, Ed. Water
fell. Oh, I know how well people in California handle the rain.
That's right. When I was leaving for work this morning, I looked out my back door and the ground was all wet, and I could see that droplets had fallen from the sky and landed on the ground. Yes, it was awful. Normally, I get my car washed on Tuesdays. I had to cancel the guy that washes my car because water.
You get your car washed once a week?
Well, every week a guy comes what? To my office and washes my car. He washes everybody's car. And I had to call him. And,
well, you wash it once a week?
Yeah, once a week.
I maybe my car once a week.
Well, yeah, it's a different culture there. But you know what I do? Sometimes one week I'll drive my car, and then the next week I'll drive Fancy Sauce's car. So every other week.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, at least we're not overdoing it.
I alternate cars. The point is that water was falling from the sky today. And it is not still summer here.
Hang in there.
I know it's hard.
We're pulling for you. I have two. Well, I have a recommendation and a anti. What do you call like an anti movie recommendation?
Stay away.
I don't know.
Yes. Well, thumbs down.
The thumbs up is Hell or High Water.
I want to see that.
That's fucking good. Jeff Bridges is always good.
He's awesome. Amazing. He's great.
He's playing like, you know, the crusty Texas sheriff or whatever the fuck he is.
The Tommy Lee Jones role.
Yeah, but he plays – that's the thing. I don't like Tommy Lee Jones. I know that we're supposed to just think he's a good actor. I feel like he's just a dick. I mean, like, yeah. I don't know sort about of, real life, but I'm saying he plays the same dick like
– sort of a one-trick pony.
Right. Like, Jeff Bridges – is likable Krusty. Like when he was in True Grit, he's a likable Krusty guy.
Well,
like
here's the thing about Jeff Bridges. He's beautiful.
Yeah.
He's so handsome.
Yeah, he tries to. He mucks it up with facial hair and stuff, but he tries. Deep down, he's pretty dreamy.
Great
and
looking.
Speaking of dreamy, Chris Pine, he's got those bedroom eyes.
Yes, but that movie's also got that creepy Ben Foster in it.
Right. He's
plays
awesome. A great creep. He plays the younger Philip Seymour Hoffman roles. Younger
totally.
Creep.
Yeah, good point.
And it has like a Western style pacing and everything. It's good. A movie not to watch. For years I've heard this is the greatest movie of all time. And I saw when I was just going through the TV guide, you know, the guide button, I saw that Citizen Kane was on. I was like, you know what? I'm going to record it and then one of these days I'll watch it. And this was like a year ago.
Yes, this is interesting to me.
And finally I was like, fuck it. I was doing some work, and I was like, you know what? I'll just put this on, see how it goes. And it might be the worst movie of all time. Like,
really?
Fucking, it was terrible. I don't understand. Like, I get movie making 70 years ago or whatever it was.
Right.
Is going to be limited. But, you know, as corny as It's a Wonderful Life is, there's a plot that you can follow. Jimmy Stewart is a good actor, like a quality actor. How about like Rear Window, Hitchcock movies?
Yeah, there's Psycho. Mm-hmm.
You can have some movies that are good back then. They're just not as well made and everything. This was terrible. It was supposed to be the life of William Randolph Hearst.
Right.
But the guy lived an interesting life. They seemed to not take any of the good parts. And it's like, I know, like, Orson Welles, this is his only movie. He wrote it and directed it. And it's just a bunch of shots, like the camera set up at people's kneecaps, looking up at them. It was terrible. It was a boring slice of life of a rich asshole. It was terrible. Fuck him and his sled. It was a terrible movie. I would say Avatar was a better movie than fucking Citizen Kane.
Well, that's Avatar. I will for sure never see. I've never seen Avatar.
You should not see it. It's terrible.
I would never see Avatar. That's not on the playlist for Brian. But I think it was just yesterday. Somebody said something on the radio as I was driving in the morning about Citizen Kane, and I thought to myself, I am never gonna see Citizen Kane. I've never seen it.
Well, I just mentioned it that there's no point in seeing it. It's terrible.
Yeah, I don't think that I'm ever going to see that movie. And now, based on your recommendation, I'm for sure I'm never going to see it. So, fuck Citizen Kane. That's a thumbs down and the opposite of a recommendation from Ed Daly. Ed, we're talking – somebody – I think it was our buddy Pete Shalitsky. He reached out last week and he was talking about shaming and phrases that we could do away with.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard it a couple times this week, and it really makes my skin crawl. It's the term, and it's overused in sports. It's the phrase, crap the bed. or some variation of that. And I just want to put it out there. I'm not really into any kind of feces related imagery whatsoever. And it really, really makes me uncomfortable when someone uses that in terms of like a team that played badly, they crapped the bed. It really makes me uncomfortable and I hate it. And I don't want to hear it anymore. I'm done. I don't want we need it out of the lexicon. There's too many cliches in sports anyway. Let's get rid of this one. Crap the bed. What do you think?
I mean, I'm fine with getting rid of it because I never use it. But it doesn't bother me that much. It's just, yeah, I don't use it. It's not very good.
I hate it. If you hate it,
I'm fine. I'm out on that fucking word.
Good. Eat it. Okay. And then here's the other thing. Here's my well, it's not a recommendation. I'm going to recount something. Last night, I went and saw Patton Oswalt do comedy, and
he's a treasure.
He's a treasure. I happen to find him so funny and interesting. And I'm not a nerd. Like, I'm not into the comic book thing or whatever, but this guy looks at things from a different perspective, which I respect. And it makes you think to listen to him talk. He's almost more like along the lines of Louis C.K. or George Carlin. He's more of a philosopher. He's not just standing up there giving you dick jokes, but it was his first set that he's done since the passing of his wife.
How emotional was he? He was
probably less emotional than a lot of us who are watching him, because he kind of got up and you could tell, you know, he hadn't been on stage in a while. And so he kind of got up and he had the notebook. You know, you could tell it was a Monday night. So it was a little different.
Working things out.
Yeah. You knew he was going to be working things out. And so he came out and then he just kind of started, and we're in Orange County, you know, strong Republican stronghold. So he started did a lot of his Trump stuff. And then he was just sort of doing crowd work. Like, you could tell he wanted to give people a show and then also sort of get used to being back on stage. But then at some point he's like, well, I got to talk about it, right? He's like, if I don't talk about it, you know, it's just, you guys are all thinking about it and I'm the guy that didn't talk about it. So of course I got to talk about it. And then he went into talking about, you know, being very funny in discussing his grief and his daughter and, you know, taking her back to school and just sort of all like the little things and just, you know, this sort of how depressed you become and just what, you know, what life is like when you suddenly lose a spouse. And he was very together and he got a couple standing ovations, and it was just, I mean, it took a lot of fucking, I know that's his trade and that he's a comic and that's what he does.
Yeah. But such a hard task funny. I mean, it's right. Still somewhat recent. What, like late spring?
Yeah. He said it had been 4 months and 17 days since she died. And, you know, he got a couple of standing O's, and it was a really, really cool experience. And I'm just rooting for that guy. He's a cool guy.
I have a funny Patton Oswalt story. When I was, I'll sometimes just put on shuffle of all my music on my phone in the car.
Yeah.
And I have comedy albums on there. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, when you hear like people clapping or something, I know to look and make sure I can skip ahead when my kids are in the car.
Not kid friendly.
Yeah, he went, and he's not a dirty comic.
No.
But he was making, he has a whole routine about how so much creepier the dubbing is on movies, on like airplanes and stuff, when there's dirty talk. And so he starts the routine. He goes, I want to fuck the shit out of you. My kids, like the boys exploded in the back. And then he goes, he starts off the routine by saying stuff like that. And then he's like, I want to put the flim flam in your zim zam. He's like, that's way more creepy. And like, he does this whole routine. But the first things he said is, I want to fuck the shit out of you. And so my 8-year-old has been saying that a lot this summer.
What?
He'll just say that. And I'm like, you can't say it. You can't. I understand. Like, it's funny. You cannot say it. He doesn't know the context. He doesn't know anything more than that line.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you can't say it. And it's not, I mean, he knows that he's doing it to get a rise out of me. It's not like he goes up in the grocery store and tells ladies he wants to fuck the shit out of them. But it's come up so much in my life. So Patton Oswalt has directly corrupted my kids.
Okay, let's get into the email before we
move on. Sorry. One other quick thing.
Yeah, let's do it.
There have been, being the week, the anniversary of 9/11, and there are a few more incidents of people doing some sort of anniversary related thing, commercials, and Walmart put up like Coke cans to look like the Trade Center as like
some I saw sort of that honor. Was that real? I assume that couldn't be real.
I think it's real, but yeah. It's just like we've talked about when people try to bring up Hitler in conversations, like when they're praising his leadership. Like, there's just a couple things. Like, just you're not clever enough to pull this off. Like, just leave it alone, because there's gonna be somebody who's pissed off, and you're gonna get in trouble. And this happens every year. Every year at the 9/11 anniversary, somebody like tries to say something profound, and they come across as idiots. It's amazing how people like they just can't get out of their own way.
Yeah, that's great. The only 9/11 or World Trade Center reference that I can't get enough of is when people find out about the Biggie Smalls reference blow up like the World Trade from the, and they think that he was prophesizing about the World Trade Center bombing, not realizing that he's referencing the earlier attempt to blow up the world. That's one I can't get enough of. But yeah, you just can't. It's the greatest tragedy that's ever happened in this country, arguably.
It's just leave it alone. It's not you're not going to be clever enough to pull it off.
No. That's exactly right. Okay. Email. Ballers, so need some help here. Really confused and need some answers. The show is down with saying, quote, Maxim Box.
What?
I don't recall saying that.
I've never said that.
Not okay using the most common term for describing an attractive lady. Quit the shit and let's take back Smoke Show. Bro hug, your dear friend. This is Paul Walkoff HBP trolling me. He knows I hate that term. Now that I've announced that I don't want to hear crap the bed anymore, he's going to find some reason to get that into an email. No to Smoke Show and no to crap the bed. Those are both on my list.
And Maxim Box. What?
I think I said that like ironically. Like I said it like trying to be outrageous at one point, and he's keyed in. It wasn't like Jay Stu who just says that kind of stuff. I said
Mac the Box sounds like something that took place in a mid-90s movie, like trying to be over the top outrageous. Yes, like after American Pie, they're like, all right, let's just ratchet it up and have these guys just be sex fiends. Like there were about 14 movies like that.
Right. R-rated comedies. Okay. Next one. Ed, this is exciting because we talked about this last week and I was really excited to make it happen and it's been sent to us. Gents, since Brian misplaced with an asterisk, the asterisk is sent to spam folder along with every email solicitation of turtleneck sweaters, gloves, and medallions anonymous, my original file, I'm sending another newer, faster, stronger version. Enjoy. Time for another episode of Daily's Choice.
Oh.
Hit it.
Watch me shiver while you shake.
That's right. It's everybody's favorite game, Daily's Choice, now with its own original theme music.
I like it.
Ed, it's time. And for people that aren't in the know, and how could you not? Because it's one of the most popular games in the country. This is a game. This is a hypothetical game where there are two gentlemen celebrities using urinals. There's an available urinal. It happens to be right between the two celebrities or known people. Ed Daly walks up to the middle urinal. He only has a brief moment to glance at one of their penises. Who does he choose? Round one, election round, Eric Trump versus Donald Trump Jr. I can barely tell these guys apart. They both look like slugs to me. They're both very sallow looking. I believe Eric Trump is the blonder one and Donald Jr. is the darker haired one. They both have a slick back hairdo. Ed, do you have a choice? What is Ed Daly's choice?
Well, I think, and again, I'm not sure which one is which. I think Eric, he looks like one of those copies of a copy. You know, like, yes. It's just like each one, like, it's a little bit off. And he looks like that movie Multiplicity where Keaton.
Michael Douglas. Keaton.
Like, it keeps getting a little bit off each time. Like, that's the way it goes with those guys. This is a tough one because, I guess I would like to look at the slower looking one just because, you know, you never know what's going on with those guys. But
that's Donald Jr. Or is it Eric?
I don't know. They're
both pretty slow looking.
Yeah, like they just look like copies of a copy of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And it's just, it brings up this election without getting political. I'm just so sick of hearing about it. And I was thinking, or my buddy brought it up yesterday, that we don't live in a, like, remotely close to being a swing state. Like, there's nobody advertising to New Jersey. It's already been wrapped up.
Same here. Yeah.
But if you were, I'm sick of this discussion. And if you're in Ohio, every commercial break, your mail every day, like, it's got to be nonstop. Or Florida, yeah. I bet. You know, whatever the swing states are, you are getting hammered. And I'm so tired of it. But, you know, if I had to pick, I'm going to take the blonder one, the slowest looking one.
Eric, yeah, it's a tough choice. I will say this. Donald Jr. has a pretty hot wife with some, like, those big, like, fake Florida titties. She's got that real Florida tan blonde look to her. And obviously, like, she's not attracted to this Donald Trump Jr. physically. So I would like to see what she's got to suffer through. Although I think they both have kind of hot wives. I don't know. Yeah, it's bad logic there. Okay, next one. Round two. The asshole round. Martin Shkreli. Shkreli versus Concordia captain Francesco Schettino. He's the guy that crashed a cruise ship and trying to impress his girlfriend and killed a bunch of people.
Yeah, what was he trying to do?
He was trying to, like, get real close to land to I don't know, to in some, I guess that's a way to show off in the cruise ship captaining world. I'm not really exactly sure. But then as soon as he ran aground, he, like a good captain, jumped off the ship and left immediately.
Yeah, that was more of a negligent thing.
Right.
I mean, yeah, he's obviously guilty and people died, so he's terrible, but I couldn't pick that guy out of a lineup.
No, I wouldn't know him either.
But this Shkreli guy,
the Italian guy.
This Shkreli guy is one of the all time pieces of shit.
Huge.
He's trying hard to be a villain.
Totally.
And we've all known these people. There's some people that, like, they get off being the uber asshole. And I saw, speaking of Patton Oswalt, like, 2 days ago, he started coming at Patton Oswalt saying, you're not funny, you're not successful, I'm way more successful than you, all this stuff. And, Patton Oswalt just destroyed him.
Of course.
He's
much smarter.
And he said, you know, like, at the end of their all, like, 20 back and forth exchange, he said, Oswald's like, thanks for letting me bat you around like a turd in a litter box.
So you're looking at Shkreli's dog.
Yeah, his ugly, ugly, wiry dick. I want to see it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to point and laugh. Like, he's a bad dude. He deserves to be laughed at.
Yeah, he's got a gross dick for sure. Now, this Shkreli guy, I thought he got, like, arrested for Ponzi scheming people. Is he out on bail, or what's the deal with that? I thought he was, like, going to go to prison.
I wonder if it's just he's still awaiting trial. I think that happened around Christmas.
Okay.
So that's what I'm guessing.
Okay.
But he's gross.
Okay. And round three, the insufferable know-it-all round, American hero Neil deGrasse Tyson versus Montreal, Quebec, Canadian ingrate, Alex Trebek. Who you got, Ed? NDT? Or that French-speaking, mustachioed Alex Trebek?
One of these guys has a massive dick. And let's see who you think has the massive dick. someone who's arrogant and bragging about how he can tell you what would happen if the Star Trek Enterprise crashed into a vat of Jell-O, or a dude who's 70 years old and somebody robs his hotel room and he runs after him naked and apprehends the robber. That's fucking Alex Trebek. The dude is a man. And I dig his arrogance. I dig it. I'm looking at that giant French Canadian hammer.
Yeah. Alex Trebek. Well, we know you and your love of Jeopardy.
Love it.
And I'll say this. Who's the smart one? The astrophysicist or the guy that makes $10 million a year working roughly a month of time?
Yeah. They bang out like the week's worth of shows
I think they do a week a day. Knock him out. I think he goes to LA. He works like 6 weeks or something.
And you know what he also has added like more and more over the years? Is like he'll ask a question on Italy and he's having the producers pick up the tab so he can like stand on a bridge in Venice and be like, it'll be like, so in Italy, this is where pasta originated, and this is Naples villa, and then like that's it. That's the only reason why he had to be on a bridge in fucking Venice.
What happened to the clue crew?
Yeah.
They had that clue crew that would run around to these places. They'd be like, here in Morocco.
Right, they still exist, but now it's like, hi, I'm inside the the Los Angeles. I'm at the La Brea Tar Pits, and he's going to like Italy.
That's great.
Trebek's the man.
Oh, he's the man. Okay, well, that of course that was another round of Daily's Choice sent to us by our very own Writes a Bill.
Right.
Daily's Choice. It's a choice I make. Daily's Choice. Watch me shiver while you shake.
Okay, Ed, it is time. This is a sports talk show. Tell me, what do we need to know? What is happening in the world of sports?
Well, this weekend's Army Rice game had a bit of a delay between the first and second quarters. As it turned out, the Army mascot is a mule, and it took a huge shit in one of the end zones, and it took them many minutes to clean it up.
What?
It was mountainous. But Brian, I got two questions. It's 2016. Why are we still using live mascots? And two, considering the game was Army versus Rice football, wouldn't the presence of mule shit in one of the end zones add a lot of needed intrigue to the game?
That's a great point. I mean, mule shit, horse shit, cow shit, it's just chewed up grass. I mean, yeah, it's got a bit of an odor to it.
But yeah, it is rather grassy.
Yeah, it's just grassy shit, you know? And it's, hey, the fucking goalposts used to be in the front of the end zone.
Oh, yeah, there's some old footage of guys just getting crushed.
Yes, like... a little mule shit. Also, like, nobody had a shovel. I feel like if you're tending a mule, you should be ready to have some shit, because my daughter rides horses, and I'll go with her to watch her ride her horses, and she'll ride a horse, and a horse will just have a shit right there in the middle of the ring.
Like, they don't care. Did they ever shit in the Olympics? That would probably be pretty funny.
Sure they do. I mean, the marathon, the race walker shit himself and continued the race. Of course the horses are going to.
That's true, when they're doing that horse dancing, a terrible horse dancing event.
What's going on with the mule? It's a horse and a donkey?
Yeah. Yeah, there's some interspecies stuff. It's like a strong horse. Pointy ears.
Right.
But I don't understand why they need to have that thing. Their nickname is the Knights.
Oh, yeah, I don't get that either. They should have a guy in a suit, a Tommy Trojan.
Yeah, but it's just the live mascots. I mean, Ugga's cool and all, but, you know, inbred, and those poor dogs are just falling apart. But then, like, Tennessee has that sad-looking dog, like this wiry-looking...
I don't know what that is. The Volunteers.
Smokey the Volunteers, they don't need to be Smokey the dog. No. It's a like sad looking dog. But overall, these other mascots are massive. That fucking buffalo, He doesn't want to be running around with guy with male cheerleaders. Like, leave him alone.
That's
it's cool looking.
Badass.
It's very badass, but it's I saw one of those specials. It's probably that Bryant Gumbel show that makes you feel bad about watching any sports. And like they talked about
real sports.
All of these fucking animals are just miserable.
Yeah, they have shitty lives. Like that the LSU Tiger.
Mike the Tiger.
Mike the Tiger. That's I've a seen pretty his, shitty life.
Yeah, I've seen his whatever they call it. What do they call them? Like the habitat, whatever. Yeah. And, you know, it's cool looking at a big, beautiful tiger, but what a bummer. He's just got a bunch of Louisiana students pointing at him, and he just sits there. Like, how is that fun for him?
He wants to get out there and hunt.
Right.
He's, you know, it's we're realizing as we... with the whole SeaWorld thing, that like keeping wild animals in captivity, especially apex predators like tigers,
and also
whales,
by himself,
bears. Yeah,
he can't just, even just have fight. Sex.
Yeah, no one to fuck. No, can't hunt. It just has
at
to sit there and wait till you throw some.
Leave the
meat
doors
at it.
Open like one day during finals. Like maybe, yes, maybe, exactly. maybe it's while you're in your chem test and you never notice.
Right.
Well, maybe it's not, and you better get running. Start huffing it.
Keep you on your feet. I agree. Ed, this next story. This really freaked me out. And this is the kind of thing I think about. When you're a known person.
Right.
In a small town or a relatively small... When you're a big fish in a relatively small pond, this kind of thing would worry me, and I think about this a lot.
You're a target. So the story, it's because of the, I guess, the freedom of records. This all went down a year ago. But the New Orleans home of current Buffalo Bills D coordinator and former Saints D coordinator, Rob Ryan's home, was almost robbed. Luckily, the plot was thwarted when some federal government employee in New Orleans got an accidental voicemail from the person trying to make plans to rob it. And here's the voicemail. "He don't got no security," said a garbled voice, according to the court document obtained by the New Orleans Advocate. "He's just a regular football coach. He ain't big like Lil Wayne or nobody that got bodyguards everywhere."
Yeah.
The caller then continued to compare the portly, long-haired brother of Rex, son of Buddy, with the codeine enthusiast rapper from the Big Easy. "He ain't like Lil Wayne," the voice said. He's just a football coach, defensive coordinator of the Saints. He don't have no bodyguards in front of his house." Luckily, the cops were able to patrol Rex's neighborhood while they traced the calls back to two suspects who had already been thrown in the pokey for separate crimes by the time the police figured it out. But Brian, since the caller thought it was important to compare the two, perhaps we should have a little game. It's called Who Said It? Rob Ryan or Lil Wayne?
Okay. All right.
All right. I got six of them. Ready? Number one.
Okay. Yeah.
Number one. "Our defense is as tough as there is. Our players are tough and we got the best coaches, so we're looking forward to this month." Is that Rob or Lil Wayne?
Ugh. I mean, Lil Wayne is a big sports fan. I've seen him on Conan O'Brien playing video games.
Yeah,
he's been on SportsCenter.
Mm-hmm.
I also just saw
about athletes.
I also saw that he's selling his Miami mansion because people, for situations like this, people keep bugging him there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a skate park on the roof. I mean, the guy's pretty tied in. I'm going to say.
Seems like there'd be a big market for houses with skate parks on the roof.
I know. I'm going to say. That's Lil Wayne.
No, sorry, that was Rob Ryan.
Shit.
All right, number two. Give me another one. "I'm like Niagara, but I get right back up like Viagra."
Rob Ryan.
Wheezy.
Oh, shit.
Number three. "This is our team. They don't coach our team. We do."
Well, Lil Wayne could be talking about the Cash Money Millionaires that he rolls with. That's his crew. I'm going to say Lil Wayne. That's Lil Wayne.
Rob Ryan.
No? Fuck.
"They've got a back there. He isn't pretty, but he hurts people. He runs them over."
Okay. That's clearly football related. Rob Ryan.
Oh, you nailed that one. Good job. All right, last two. "I got ice. Ridiculous price. Your camera never saw a picture this nice."
Ooh. Well, they were going to rob Rob Ryan. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe it's because he was bragging about his ice. I'm going to say Rob Ryan.
Wheezy.
Oh,
last one. Okay. I'm looking in the mirror and I see a dollar sign. I had a CAT scan and I had money on my mind.
Rob Ryan used to play football. He could be worried about CTE. Rob Ryan.
Sorry, Wheezy. Wow.
Shit.
You did get that one right. I'm impressed. That was hard.
One for five. Hitting, that's the Mendoza line, 200.
That was the dumbest game, but I just the comparison. I saw the side-by-side pictures of those, too, and I was like, wow, that's an interesting connection you're making between those two guys.
Yeah, that is. Also, who leaves voicemails? Like,
right. You see that they called.
I recently, my voicemail was full. Like, I had not cleared out the cache of voicemails in years. And somebody texts me, they're like, hey, your voicemail's full. And I'm like, cool. And I just left it full. So you cannot leave me a voicemail if you even want to, because I've filled it up.
I'm not
unfilling it.
Yeah, I'm not too OCD. But for some reason, I hate when the little number appears when there's a voicemail. So I delete it when I get it.
I hate it too. But I just highlight it.
I just swipe it over. And then you delete it. And you don't have to listen to the message.
Well, you know what? That's actually good, because when you have to delete, this is the one failing of the iPhone, of the Apple designers. Mm-hmm. Deleting voicemails is a huge pain in the ass. You have to swipe each individual one and delete it.
Yeah, that is.
You can't bulk. You can't do a highlight eight in a row.
Four fingers at once, maybe. If you could do that.
Yes. Now that's like Maxim Box, four fingers at once. Okay. Before we move on, Ed, I have some fantastic news for the listeners of this program.
What do you got?
This is something we did as a group.
Okay.
Herman Marshall Whiskey is now available in Oklahoma and Louisiana.
Whoa, we did it.
That's right. That is the power of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast, guys. Thanks to you and your steadfast support of Herman Marshall Whiskey, the people that know good whiskey in Oklahoma and Louisiana said, hey, we want Herman Marshall too. So now, when you're in New Orleans and you order a delicious Sazerac cocktail,
as you're planning to rob Rob Ryan.
Right, on your way over to Rob Ryan's house to rob it. You can order that drink with that incredible Herman Marshall Texas rye. And now, after big game Bob gags another one, or Central Michigan Hail Marys all of the cowpokes out of the game.
T-Boone Pickens squad.
Yes, the good citizens of Oklahoma can tamp their pain with a smooth glass of Herman Marshall Texas bourbon. And Ed, even though the Baller Lifestyle Podcast is using our considerable reach to get Herman Marshall whiskey outside of Texas,
mm-hmm.
it will always be grain to glass Texas, distilled in Texas from Texas corn and crystal clear East Texas water. See for yourself, guys. Grab a bottle of their Texas bourbon, rye, single malt, or Temptress. Next time you're at a local bar, restaurant, or spirits retailer, grain to glass, Herman Marshall, smooth Texas whiskey. How cool is that, Ed?
That is awesome. And I'll tell you one state it's not in yet, and it really could have been useful, would be New Jersey.
New Jersey,
yeah. I had a wedding this weekend.
Oof.
And it wasn't just, I mean, it was a cool cousin.
Right.
And I like a lot of my dad's side of the family.
Yes.
You know, they're fun Irish drinkers and all. But okay,
so this wasn't one of those dry weddings I've heard of.
I don't know. That's never gonna happen for me.
Okay, good.
I'm aggressively trying not to drink right now, but I'm going to a wedding. I'm gonna fucking drink. I'm not going sober in a wedding. But anyway, the spirit choices. They had a good beer selection. The brown alcohol, it was like half a bottle of Jack Daniels, and people were using that to make their Jack and Coke, because there were a lot of younger people at the wedding.
Right.
So I just had to have beer. I mean, it was, you know, it was good. It was Fat Tire or Goose Island. You know, there were some decent choices, but I kind of wanted to just have some brown booze, and
yeah, I get that.
If Herman Marshall was there, it would have been a big hit, but instead, just some crummy half of a Jack Daniels.
Well, we've gotten it. We've gotten it into Oklahoma. We've gotten it into Louisiana, New Orleans. That's huge. It's
right.
It's
that's
growing.
The drinking capital of the United States. So
that's
it's
right.
Only a matter of time.
It's going to grow exponentially from there, all because of our listeners. Herman Marshall Whiskey.
Good job, everybody.
A place you probably won't ever be able to get Herman Marshall at is in India. A buddy of mine told me a story one time. He was backpacking around. This is like early 20s, just seeing the world with a backpack. Mm. He was traveling through India, and he's like, I paid the equivalent of like $15 to stay a couple nights at a family's house. I guess this is like a practice. Like people will sort of open up their homes to
travelers. That sounds
travelers.
Like a nightmare.
Well, he said it wasn't bad because the mom cooked for you. You know, you had a bed. But he said that the plumbing wasn't what you would call modern. And he said one night he was sitting outside in the evening, just kind of sitting out on the porch, chilling, and the house was kind of next to a river. And there was this piece of wood that like leaned next to the house, and kind of one end was in the river and it kind of leaned up against the hill next to the house. And he was kind of wondering, like, what's that piece of wood doing there? He just kind of thought it was odd.
Uh-huh.
And then he looked over and he saw the grandma walk outside and squat down over the piece of wood relieve herself, urinate onto the piece of wood, onto like a groove into the piece of wood so that her urine would run down the piece of wood into the river.
That is disgusting.
Well, Ed... Uh-huh. India seems to be aware of this because they've gone on a public toilet building spree, and they are now trying to shame people who may not be inclined to use proper plumbing into doing so. An aggressive new campaign ridicules those who are no longer poor but continue to defecate in the open. A practice that remains common in rural India despite its growing wealth and trappings of modern life. Television commercials and billboards now carry a message that strike at the heart of the Indian contradiction of being the world's fastest growing major economy and also where relieving oneself in the open is the norm in most villages.
The norm?
Apparently, Ed, they've got new ads with taglines like... Only the habit of using a toilet is real progress. And one in the voice of children. Uncle, you wear a tie around your neck, shoes on your feet, but you still defecate in the open? What kind of progress is this? Asked a child
it's
in
catchy.
One commercial. Another says, you may have a smartphone in your hand, but you still squat on train tracks. Oddly specific.
Very.
Ed, let's be honest. Isn't there something sort of liberating about the cool fall air against your exposed dong during a delightful outdoor whiz?
There is something to be said for that. When you've got to go and you're tailgating or something, you do behind the car door, you open it up to block. But
yeah,
but I think there's more than just pissing. I mean, this is a problem with people shitting outdoors.
I think so. Ed.
I've seen
the issue.
Just let me remind you, I've seen the movie Slumdog Millionaire like maybe twice, so I know a thing or two about India.
That chicken Slumdog.
Oh, so
pretty
hot.
Banging.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. But I gotta think the cops need to like have substantial fines. I mean, there cannot be shitting going on outside. We've had our Code Brown moments, but they're all about terrible things that happen to us.
Yeah,
when people are just taking a dump on the fucking train tracks, There should be a cop there and just say, all right, give me your phone. We're good. We're going to take your phone for the next week. Second offense, 6 months. Like we.
Yeah.
But I will say, I was skeptical how far our reach could go internationally.
Right.
The fact that one of the largest countries in the world has resorted to public shaming tells
second
me
most
we
populous. Yeah.
We're onto something. I'm giving us credit for this. Public shaming is the way to go, and there needs to be more of it.
I haven't looked in a while, but I know for a fact that this show has been downloaded in India before. This mm-hmm. show has been downloaded all over the world.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, it might. I'm going to have to double check and see if our clicks have gone up in the India portion of the world, because they might be listening to us.
By, this like, whole campaign by like half a billion maybe by now.
Yeah, yeah. It's shutting down the servers. It could be. It could be India that's doing this.
Yeah, public shaming. This is ours. We're doing this.
Totally. We do this.
Proud of us.
Good for us. Ed, mm-hmm. I have been afraid to admit something to myself.
What?
But I fear I may have lost something dear to me.
Oh, no. What happened?
My medallion. I've checked everywhere, Ed. It's of course I've looked against my smooth, tanned, glistening chest behind my three open buttons, undone floral shirt. It's not there. I've looked inside of the satin bag where I keep all my cool rings. And of course, first place I looked, inside my fanny pack.
That's a good place to look.
But it's nowhere to be found, Ed. And I feel like I know people know what it's like to lose things. And I know someone specifically who can identify with my pain. And that's whoever left a fresh human heart in a park in Ohio. Ed, police are on the lookout, but they're not sure. They're still trying to trace a human heart discovered in a field in Ohio back to its rightful owner. Sometime in August, an EMS crew was called to a small town outside Cleveland and to an open field where they found a strange bag in the grass. And when they looked inside the sack, they found what appeared to be a freshly dissected human heart. Quote, it was fresh. It wasn't decomposed, said the local police chief. The paramedics weren't sure what they had, so they called us. I feel like a paramedic should have enough training to be able to recognize a human heart, but I don't know. Like outside of the body, it probably looks a little different.
But this is Ohio. And they've seen exposed hearts.
It's true. And no one is certain who the heart belonged to or even if it even belonged to a human at all. Human hearts can look apparently like dog, pig, and chimpanzee hearts. Although I would argue that it's having a chimpanzee heart would be a little even weirder than having a human heart, right?
Yeah. I think there was a movie where a guy had a chimpanzee heart, but that's a
different
story. Was that
Jeff Fahey?
I think so.
Was that the great Jeff Fahey from Lawnmower Man?
I think, or maybe, yeah. I mean, Jeff Fahey has been on a lot of cable movies when you've flipped around back in the day, right. And one of them had to involve him having a chimpanzee heart or something.
I'm nearly certain that was Jeff Fahey. Quote, but they're pretty sure it's not chimpanzee, Ed. Quote, they're 95% sure it was human, but they want to make 100% sure. That's important. So their Ohio officials they're not sure yet, Ed, but they're pretty sure. Ed, considering this happened in Ohio, should we all be on the lookout for a Jeffrey Dahmer Jr. or John Wayne Gacy wannabe?
I think maybe we should be looking out for a Mola Ram wannabe, the guy from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Oh, the guy that pulls
yeah,
it out
yeah,
of the chest.
Pulls it out.
Yes.
But usually they'll set on fire, I think, after he pulls it out. But yeah, I think that's what's going on. Some guy in Ohio is like, you know, all the serial killer shit has been done.
Yeah.
I'm going to just go watch a movie, see what, you know, ideas pop up. He watched Temple of Doom, and now that's what's going on. So we have to find a fire pit and some other stuff. And I think we're going to find the next Molo Ram.
Molo Ram. Great pull. That's more obscure than Jeff Fahey. Okay, one more, Ed. I know you're going to like this.
Yeah.
An Italian court has ruled that it's legal to jerk it in public. Italy's highest court, Ed, La Corte de Cassazione, determined that a 69-year-old man who took his dick out in front of students on a college campus and just started jerking it right off.
69? Come on, buddy.
Didn't actually commit a crime. The Italian Supreme Court overturned a sentence from an appeals court stating the man known as Pietro L. Peter should go to prison for 3 months in addition to paying a fine. The highest court in the land ruled that jerking it is not included in the law as a crime. Technicality, Ed.
So amorous over there.
Right. Ed, should we be surprised that in a country where not long ago the president was throwing bunga bunga parties loaded with 18-year-old hookers is just totally okay with public wanking?
Yeah, this didn't they have a porn star that got close to being president?
Cicciolina. I think that was in the 80s, yes.
You know, I think this is a real opportunity for maybe a European branch of Rain City Jacks.
Oh my God, I didn't think of that.
Hi.
Yes.
I thought of an ad. Hi, I'm former Seattle Seahawk quarterback Rick Meyer, and when I'm in the mood for some good pasta and some good old-fashioned jack-off session, I head to Rain City Jacks, Italy. Hi, I'm former supersonic three-point assassin Detlef Schrempf, and when I want some Chianti and a stroke from behind the arc, I head to Rain City Jacks, Italy.
Hello, I'm former middleweight champion Marvin Hagler. And after, when I'm not reminiscing on my painful decision, split decision loss to Sugar Ray Leonard that sent me into Italian retirement where I now star in Westerns, I bounce out to Venice City Jacks. Wow. I mean, you know, I just watched that Michael Moore documentary, Where to Invade Next, and Europe has got, I know, like a lot of you guys jerk off, like USA, USA. Go some other places. Yeah. Other than the public jerking off, these fucking guys have got it figured out. They are, they have sex, they take two-hour lunches, they fucking drink wine, everybody's happy.
I mean, it's good this times guy's over there. 69 years old, and he still thinks it's all right to just jerk off.
Pietro, hey, Ed, like...
Pietro took out his little Pietro.
You've been on a college campus lately? There's a lot of scenery around there, especially in the summertime. They get the short shorts, the sundresses.
Oh.
You know? Pietro,
the wedding,
he's passionate.
The wedding I was at.
Oh, my God.
Some creepy relative was like, it was like something like, ooh, they're... If only I were single or something like that. And I was like, oh, no, just please just give me my beer and let me off this line.
That is these, you know, these creepy uncles, they know how to overstep a line. You hit a certain age and your filter goes away.
Yeah.
It's like you develop, you're born without a filter, then you develop a filter. And then at some point, like around age 60, the filter goes away.
Yeah.
It's weird.
And another thing about that wedding, I went by myself.
Mm-hmm.
My sister and brother-in-law were there. Like it's not, mm-hmm. I mean, it was family. I knew a lot of people, but sure. I got put at my mom's table.
Oh.
It was with her contemporaries, and I was like, shit, I'm too old for the, you know, 20-something table.
Yeah, I bet you were getting cool. Whizzed at that table. I bet you were having to answer a lot of questions.
You know what I was doing? Lots of bathroom and bar breaks. I didn't spend much time at that table.
Good. That's a good move. Ed, our very own Fancy Sauce of Baller Lifestyle pop culture correspondent, Fancy Sauce, is out of pocket once again.
Again.
Unfortunate. Called away. So we're gonna have to wing this final segment of the program without her. It is Fancy Pop without our very own Fancy Sauce. First things first, we have some life coaching to get to, Ed, via all right. the voicemail. Let's check in. Let's see what's going on in the voicemail box.
Hi, good morning. This is Shannon from Fort Worth, and I was just having a little bit of life coaching that I needed. I'm getting 75 junk mail emails a day, Russian brides and Oof. How to solve your diabetes, and it's really stressing me out. And what do I do? Do I change emails and just, if someone that's known me since I was 13 has always known my email, and then I just lose that email? Or I just need to know what to do. Thank you.
Wow. Ed.
Mm-hmm.
We are very, very popular amongst the female segment.
I did notice that. I did notice that.
Women love us, and I got to be honest, very nice to hear from Shannon in Fort Worth.
Very, very.
And Shannon, this is a real quandary. This is a real life coaching dilemma, because I feel like we've all been in this situation. Ed Daly?
I was in this situation maybe about 7 years ago.
Same.
My first ever email, was in college. Like when I signed up freshman year, that was like my first email. So I got out of college and I got a Hotmail account.
Yeah, Hotmail.
And I kept it until about 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then I switched over to Gmail, but every product, and I still do it to this day, I sign up with my Hotmail. And so that Gmail has stayed pristine for 7 years.
Same.
I don't sign up any product, nothing. So that's what you have to do. You have to find whatever new Gmail or whatever you want to use, find something new, and then you have to monitor the old one, sort of. Yeah. But to just take all the shit away, and then when you get an email on the new Gmail or whatever it is, then you know you actually want to read it. And that's the move. You have to do it, though, because you can't be sifting every day of your life.
No, that's the exact advice. Same thing. I had one email that I started in probably 1995, and I all of a sudden inundated with junk. So what I did is exactly what I did. I started not a professional email, but just a regular correspondence with friends email, a Gmail account that I never sign up for any, not a single newsletter, not shopping, nothing.
I used Amazon, nothing. Yep. Nothing.
And I use the old email for that. So then I can just go through and just go delete, delete, delete. Because you delete most of those newsletter emails anyway. Maybe read, you get your Slate or your Dig, your news emails. You read those, delete all the rest. And it's just like one quick swoop. Here's my newsletters and junk. And here's my real shit over on this other one.
Right.
That's what you do.
That's your only choice. Don't forget. Yeah. That new one's just for friends.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no products, no companies.
Unfortunately, there's like a new phishing sort of email thing. Well, I don't know if it's new, but it's new to it's hit the Baller Lifestyle email somehow.
Damn.
I think because our email is mailbag at theballerlifestyle.com, that's just a common prefix, and so they just hit every kind of email with that prefix, because I'm getting all these like please, and it's all attachments, and it's like, but see, here's the other thing, I'm on a Mac, and so there ain't no viruses to hit your Mac. Not that I'm opening random attachments, but I'm getting like hundreds every single day where it's like, that's here's brutal. Your invoice you requested with an attachment, all to the Baller Lifestyle email. Here's another thing. You never hit the unsubscribe, or you never respond with like do not send or anything like that, because I'm sure everybody knows this. That just tells them that they've reached a real person, that that's now right. they can sell that email
that's,
address.
That's the people. Drop of blood the shark needs.
Yes, exactly.
And a cousin to this whole thing.
Yes.
Is you sign up, when you have to sign up your phone number. I use my home phone number that I never use the phone. That's right. They're home muted. Phone.
Yes.
It's part of my Fios package, but it just sits there muted, the phone itself. But everything goes to that because I don't want some company calling my cell phone. That's unacceptable.
I stayed at a hotel and the hotel like sold my fucking email to like one of those timeshare deals.
Oh, no.
Where they call me and try to sell me a timeshare like once a week.
And they won't stop.
No, they never stop. I tell them to fuck off every time. I'm not buying a fucking timeshare. Okay, Ed, since Kate is not here, no fancy sauce. Let's wing some pop culture news.
Let's do it.
Here's one I've just seen. I'm just going to go on. I'm just going to hit like TMZ and hit you with the big ones. But this one I've seen, and this one I do want to talk about. Remember Nelly, former Cardinals, supposed farmhand, the rapper Nelly?
He was a Cardinals farmhand?
I don't know. He's from St. Louis. He wears a Cardinals jersey a lot, and he supposedly got drafted or something. I don't know. That could be a rumor, but that's not important. This guy's best days are behind him, but apparently he's still making money because the IRS wants $2.5 million in back taxes from Nelly. And I guess he's having a hard time coming up with the money. Although in this picture I'm looking at right here, I feel like he could pay it with just these earrings. But I saw some whole thing where people want to help Nelly pay his IRS bill. So there's this groundswell of support.
Like GoFundMe shit.
Worse. They want you to go on to every streaming service and just stream Hot in Here, Nelly's big hit, just constantly. Just have it streaming all the time because he gets like half a penny for every time that song plays on a streaming service.
That is a pretty amazing way to fill up the bank.
Yes.
I do remember he did have a, I can't remember the song, but I did like the line, "I'm a sucker for cornrows and manicured toes." That was a good
yes.
One.
Yes, I do recall that line. I was not a fan. You know, he's a bit pop for me.
Well, Hot in Here was like, it was like any, you know, song of the summer kind of thing. It was right. it was like a top 40 kind of shit.
Big hit, but the Band-Aid on the face.
That was weird before I think we started seeing the teardrop tattoos.
Right. It was like kind of like a shout out. Like it was kind of like, hey, I'm hard or something. I don't know, it was somebody
who died or was in jail. And then all of a sudden, people like the game showed up and it was like, nah, we don't need Band-Aid on the face.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what. We don't need something else that the game's got. We don't need to see that ever again.
I remember when Michelle saw that picture and she was like, oh, that can't be real. And I was like, perfect. She doesn't even think this stuff exists.
No, it had to be photoshopped.
She's been with me for 20 years. She does. She thinks it's an impossibility a man could be that big.
This is the size they come right here. This one that I have.
Biggest there's out there. And just me.
In those movies, you know what it is? They always just have girls that with really small hands in pornos. Like that's just a normal size one.
Yeah, they get girls with T-Rex arms. That's what's going on.
The girls in those movies are like midgets. Ed, here's something. You are very much a child of the 80s. No one is better versed on the 80s than you.
What do you
Ricky got? Ricky Schroeder.
The Ricker.
Headed to divorce court. His wife, Andrea Schroeder, is cutting him loose after 24 years of marriage. And I got to be honest, the Ricker is looking pretty old. The wife, pretty attractive.
Oh, no. Now, I got to look this up. Ricker used to be, you know, Tiger Beat heartthrob. No,
he's looking old. And I will say this. I remember the Ricker coming on the Howard Stern show. And I believe he is a devout Mormon.
Oh.
So I'm not sure how divorce plays in the Mormon church. But I don't, you know, I'm sure they can't be too into it.
Oh, that wife.
Yeah, it's not bad looking, right?
I'm looking at the picture you're probably, because it's got them side by side.
Yeah.
Although, you know. Yeah, he looks like the color gray.
Yeah, well, it's
the lighting is a little bit off.
They don't pick the best picture of someone.
But yeah, he looks kind of nicked up, and he looks gray. He's got gray skin right now.
Yes, very, very
not gray hair, gray skin.
Yeah, he's very sallow. Okay, well, thoughts and prayers. Although, you know, speaking from experience, a divorce not always the saddest thing. Gives everybody a chance to start over.
Hit the reset button.
Yeah, get a new thing going for yourself. Okay, here's something I saw and I still don't get. You know, disgraced American swimmer Ryan Lochte, Ed?
I know.
He's apparently on Dancing with the Stars, which is apparently still a show. I guess last night, or this during the last taping, some guys rushed the stage. I'll just read. Ryan Lochte was on the verge of being attacked Monday night during a live season premiere of Dancing with the Stars, and the men who rushed the stage were taken down by security and detained. Lochte had just finished a foxtrot with Cheryl Burke.
Foxtrot?
These dancers on these shows, pretty good bodies, and this Cheryl Burke is... I've seen her, and she's not too bad. And they were standing next to Tom Bergeron, the host. That guy stacks a lot of chips hosting shows. To get the judges' feedback, when a group in the audience ripped their shirts open to reveal the round symbol for No Lochte on their shirts.
Are they Brazilian? Like what?
The group was booing the stage, and they rushed him. Luckily, Lochte was protected, and these guys were arrested for criminal trespassing. Ed, this has to be something that was orchestrated by Lochte himself. There cannot be anti-Lochte zealots out there, can there?
Yeah, and think of how much they'd have to be paid for this, because now they've got to go to jail and they're going to have to do community service or something. When people ask them if they've committed a crime, what was it? They got to say they rushed the stage at Dancing with the Stars. That's the most embarrassing fate of all.
Awful. Awful.
What is the end game here? Are they Brazilians that are still pissed off about that sign at the men's room?
We don't know.
He's a moron, but he didn't actually do that much. He was just a drunken idiot one night.
Nobody can really be like that upset. Even the Brazilians can't be like, oh, he's damaged our world reputation. Like, I just feel like
this
had to be something orchestrated by Ryan Lochte. And I will say this, just having looked at the picture, I really, really, really would like one of those No Lochte shirts. If somebody can find one somewhere,
Ed. I'm looking at it now. It is pretty, and it's clearly was done by one of these guys, because you would like to make it more clear and for the letters to fit inside the red circle. Like, this was somebody who just like was clicking and dragging a circle with a slash on top of the word Lochte.
Yes, it was.
It's really crudely done. I'm guessing there aren't a lot of copies out there.
It looks like Windows 95 clip art. Something I just made a tweet about this, I want to know what you think. This Hillary Clinton, you know, she fell ill recently, and apparently Bill has to sub for her she's about to go collect some checks at some fundraisers here in LA.
This is where the big money rolls in.
Right. These are like 35 grand a plate. And one of them was at Seth MacFarlane's place. Any chance that Hillary is feigning this pneumonia situation just so she doesn't have to go over to Seth MacFarlane's and see him regale the crowd with his Sinatra standards and his
please,
big band.
Please, no more Stewie impressions or Sinatra standards. Please, no mas. I tweeted about the sickness thing because you know, back to just being inundated, people kept talking about the sickness thing, and I mean, all these polls, I refuse to believe there's anyone undecided.
No.
And so when they say, oh, she's sick, so does that mean that somebody who was going to vote for her would find him more palatable than Tim Kaine if she died a day into office? Like, all of this talk is just talk. Please leave us alone. It's over. Everyone's decided. It's over. The race is over already. It's not going to change. Trump's not going to win.
Yeah, the whole thing is that they're vying for, you know, like 8% in the middle, like the people that don't have a dog in the fight is who they're fighting over. And it really comes down to just a few people in a few states that they're really battling over, which is why that's, right. You know, why they're always in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Florida.
But the Seth MacFarlane thing, geez, that's yes. I mean, how bad do you really need that money?
Yes, the great corn log on Twitter, I think, summed it up pretty well when he said, I'm paraphrasing, he said, Hillary got a bacterial infection, so it looks like now I got to vote for the guy who wants to put people in concentration camps. okay, let's sign off with that. also, RIP, Alexis Arquette.
Yeah, do we know the cause?
I mean, I'm not going to speculate.
No, but I'm saying, like, did somebody say suicide or drugs, or was it just, like, assumed it's something?
Lengthy illness.
I didn't think that people died of that anymore.
I didn't either. I didn't even
That's why I ruled that out, because I thought that was not a thing anymore.
I thought it was exclusively a sub-Saharan African thing.
Right.
I didn't realize that before Alexis transitioned,
Pulp Fiction,
when she was a man, she was the guy in Pulp Fiction with the hand cannon
who shot at Jules and Vincent and missed.
Yes, yes.
Well, and then like 2 years later, became the backup and the wedding singer.
Right,
which was actually a funny that movie, although it's a pretty lousy Adam Sandler. The Steve Buscemi scene in that where he's shit-faced is amazing.
Steve Buscemi is a treasure.
Yeah, when he gives the drunken treasure. Best man speech, yes. And he's like, I guess those were hookers. And then he goes, best man, he raises his glass, he goes, best man, then he goes, better man, and then walks away.
So good. So
he grabs the guitar and goes, I'm the best guitar player in the world.
Yes. So good. Oh, I love that. Yeah. Okay, let's sign off there.
All right.
Notes. Hopefully we'll get Fancy Sauce back. She's been very busy with a project, so I know people get upset when she's not here. I feel like we did a great job. I just went on TMZ and hit all the fucking big stories.
Yeah, I think we did good enough. I mean, this is we're just a bridge here. We're just getting to the next time where a credible person can talk about this stuff.
That's right. Absolutely. Okay. So for Ed Daly, for the absent Fancy Sauce, I'm Brian Beckner. This has been episode 135 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.